hope to preach tonight. God's provided you what you need to serve Him, and you don't turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and here as we look at here at this text, and just even as a text, and Paul's writing to Timothy here, it's focused on the gospel. Now, it ought to be the focus of our hearts as well, whether you're called into full-time ministry or not. If you're saved tonight, you ought to be serving God. And I preached this morning out of Acts chapter number 4, and that it demands our lives honor and glorify Him, and our mouths proclaim Him as well. To have one or the other, we want to live without speaking about Him is hypocritical. But to speak about Him and not live for Him is hypocritical as well. And so here, why don't you stand, and we'll look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 1. Stand if you're able, and we'll read the text here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do just thank You for the time here tonight. Lord, I pray that You just please continue to help us. Lord, we want to hear from You. Lord, we haven't come for the social club aspect, and Lord, and certainly we appreciate fellowship and being around godly people. But Lord, help us to be focused on the gospel in our lives, and Lord, I pray that You'd just continue to help us, Lord, and as we're in need of boldness. Lord, I thank You for the text here before us. Lord, I pray that You would just please continue to help us through the message. Lord, please continue to give me the words to say. Lord, we do thank You. I pray this in Your name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 1. I'd like to read the text here. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The title of the message here tonight is Courageous Christians Carrying the Commission. And again, I say that God's provided you with what you need to serve him. And even as Paul later points out to Timothy, and it didn't need new ingredients to the equation. It just needed to trust and rely upon God. It's about the power and the strength of God. And the same thing is true in our lives. It's about the power of God working through us. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. In August of 1942, and during World War II era, there's a young man named Jack Lucas who forged his mother's signature so he could join the Marines and fight in the battle. And later in this story here, later when the Marines realized their mistake, about a year later, they relegated him to driving a truck. there on Hawaii, and although he maybe should have been discharged at the time, but he was unwilling to sit out the war in safety, and instead he stowed away a ship named the USS Duell, a transport ship bound for the island of Iwo Jima. There, the officers there on the ship that weren't aware of his situation, and he was able to talk them into joining the battalion there, and there in the situation there, and they later in February of 1945, they landed on the island of Iwo Jima there, and of course with heavy gunfire and everything there with the battle. He and his unit, they were going into a trench, and he saw a couple of grenades coming his way, and one was able to try and bury the grenades down into the sand, but one of the grenades went off and exploded and sending shrapnel everywhere, and just even that situation then, the soldiers around him just assumed and thought that he had already died, but miraculously he survived the blast and the battle, and they carried him back offshore, and later October of that year, President Harry S. Truman presented him with the Congressional Medal of Honor. And just the story here of this young man, and no doubt, like many others in the situation, and a situation of bravery, but unlike many at that time who had even forged a parent's signature, he wasn't 17 years old, but he was 14 years old at the time when he forged his mother's signature. And here just this situation of bravery with this forging stowaway Marine. And I told you that story here and the situation years ago, just the spirit of serving his country during that time, and we ought to celebrate that. We ought to honor that. But as Christians, we're in a battle as well. We're in a great battle, and may we not have the mentality of, I'll serve God when it's convenient, and I'll serve God when it fits my schedule, and when I feel like serving Him. But may we truly have the spirit and attitude to serve our Lord and Savior, because it's a wonderful privilege to serve Him. Years ago, missionary Hudson Taylor said that God isn't looking for people of great faith, but for individuals ready to follow Him. And just a simple truth in that, and that God doesn't use just the super talented and those individuals, but God uses us. The God uses common garments, and God uses common people. Hudson Taylor also said that, he said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. I need God's strengthening continually. On a daily basis, I need Him, and you need Him. That when you need Him in days where you don't feel like you need Him. And just thankful that God's provided us with spiritual gifts and abilities, not for our glory, not for our use and to brag and to glory in ourselves, but to honor and glorify Him. Look at our text here with me, and here as Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and just giving thanks to the Lord for Timothy's walk with God, and giving thanks to God that Timothy has a true relationship with Him. And I look down in verse number 5. Back in verse 4, it says, "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." Why? What's the joy from? Verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now, the word unfeigned, we don't typically use it, or I don't normally use it in my own vocabulary, but feigned means to which is invented, or that which is imagined. Paul's just giving thanks and gratitude here to Timothy. He doesn't have a fake faith. Because here Timothy, he had a godly heritage. The text here tells us that he had a grandmother Lois that knew the Lord. He had a mother Eunice that knew the Lord. And it's possible in those situations to just follow the family heritage and latch onto that, but not have a true relationship with God. And I'm thankful for my godly heritage. My dad's been a pastor since I was 5 years old, but there had to come a time in my life where I recognized God as my God, not just my parents' God. And it's possible here tonight that maybe there's someone here tonight that is just going through the motions and just going because that's what you're supposed to do. Well, but here, as Paul's given gratitude and thanks to Timothy, that Timothy has a real, genuine walk with God. But Timothy, his grandmother, Paul says that he had a godly grandmother and a godly mother. We could see in Acts in chapter number 16 that Timothy's dad, we really don't know anything about him, but in Acts 16:1, it tells it that his mother believed, but just simply that his father was a Greek, leading us to believe that his father didn't follow God. And I can just stand before you and say that you can still follow God whether your mom or your dad follows God or not, because you're not dependent upon them, but following God. See here a chain of spiritual leadership. And again, Lois and Eunice and Timothy, and it was Timothy's responsibility to have his own relationship with God. But in another aspect, we see Paul here writing to Timothy, his son in the faith. And later in chapter 2, in verse number 2, Paul encourages him and says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Timothy had a responsibility to share his faith with others as well, and not just to keep it for himself. Look down in verse number 6 with me. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Of course, we'd recognize here Paul and his position as apostle, and God had given him special abilities to impart gifts and abilities to Timothy. But even in our time, we don't have the same aspect, but still God is the provider of gifts and abilities to us. And again, it's not for our consumption of ourselves, that I would use gifts and abilities that God has given me for my glory. No, sir. But that God would receive glory and honor through his name. And it's just so important that you have a walk, a genuine walk with God. And Paul, and reminding Timothy of his gifts, and that Paul was a witness of the Lord's working in his life, and Paul was continuing to encourage Timothy to continue in the work despite the opposition. Sure, there's opposition out there. And just here in verse number 6 as well, it says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." I think of a situation here, in my life, because I'm a man, I enjoy fires. I enjoy building fires, and whether a campsite or our first home that we had as a married couple, we had a wood stove there in the house, and we loved it, and we'd build a fire there in the night, and when we'd wake up in the morning, the fire would be died down. And you all know what you do in that situation. You get your poker stick out, and you begin to stir the embers and stir the flame. Here's the same mentality that Paul's communicating to Timothy here, to stir the embers within. But it's not Timothy that does the stirring. It's Timothy's responsibility to submit to God, and that God does the stirring within him. You can't just make some decision in your life saying, "Well, I'm just gonna be spiritual today. I'm just gonna do right." But that was just gonna be a temporary decision based on the flesh. But when God does the stirring, a mighty fire can come, be kindled. Maybe it's possible that, again, maybe there's someone here tonight that just going through the motions, and just you're here because that's where you're supposed to be. May I just encourage you tonight, just submit to the Lord. If you're complacent, if you're apathetic in your heart to the ministries here of this church and the work of the gospel and other areas as well, just submit to the Holy Spirit, and that God would do the stirring within your heart, that you'd be revived once again and rekindled for His work, for His glory. Look in verse number 7. It says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." There's many times I've heard the verse used in kind of manner of fear, just in general and in that manner. But I believe the context is still on the work of the gospel. And as Paul's encouraging Timothy to use that which God has given him, not for his glory, but for the work of the gospel. In the New Testament, oftentimes we have the word translated fear. It would be the Greek word of phobos. Of course, many of us would know that word today. We would know as phobia, and of fear. And the word is as in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 10, when the angels came before the shepherds, and they told the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What was the shepherds' response? Of fear and trepidation, of course, and things that they didn't understand. Also in Matthew 14, verse 26, it says, "When the disciples saw him," Jesus, "walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." And same mentality of fear and trepidation, of which they didn't understand. But here in 2 Timothy, it's a different Greek word that's used. It conveys more the idea of timidity or hesitation. And what I believe the verse here is saying is, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear," and that which a timidity or hesitation. Why? Because God has provided power and of love and of a sound mind. That it's within our human tendency, our inclination, to be timid with confrontation of the gospel. Because the gospel is confrontational. And that we are in need of the Spirit strengthening within us. And again, I believe that this verse here conveys the idea of hesitation. And because Christians are prone to be hesitant to share the gospel, I am prone to be hesitant to share the gospel. You are hesitant as well. You may buck at that and say, well, not me. I'm outgoing. I'm rather bold and those things. And I'd say, liar, liar, pants on fire. There's absolutely every single one of us. There's times in our lives, whether you're at a family function and there's that family member that you know doesn't like you preaching to him, doesn't like you sharing the gospel to him, but the Holy Spirit tells you to talk to him anyway. There's maybe that guy at work that doesn't like you. Real things that we all deal with. But in those times, whether you're going to back off from what the Spirit tells you to do with timidity, or whether you're going to depend upon the boldness of God. Because may I point out here very much that your own carnal boldness is not the issue. Whether you perceive yourself to be timid or whether you perceive yourself to be bold, that's not the issue. The issue is the power of God. And the text here before us emphasizes so much that it's God working through us. That when God does the stirring within, then He can work in our hearts. And verse number 7, and just that God hasn't given us that spirit of divinity, but what has God given us? Power and of love and of a sound mind. Just as we prepare to go to Cambodia as well, I don't need my strength. I need God's strength, God's power working through me. And love for the Cambodian people. I don't primarily just need to love the Cambodian people. I need to love God. And through love of God, He enables me to love people. Whether you're a Sunday school teacher here, love God. Then He can enable you to love those that you're supposed to lead. And have a sound mind, clear thinking. There's times when you're witnessing to someone and when you're walking in the Spirit, God gives you the wisdom on what to say. A sound mind, clear thinking. Verse 8 goes on and says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed." Why would we have cause to be ashamed when the God of all creation is our God? It's within our tendency to back off, to be timid. But when God has given you the strength, God has given you courage, boldness, we can go forward in confidence. I think of the verse there in Romans chapter number 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm thankful it's not in my responsibility to convince and to sway people to follow Christ. It's my responsibility to be faithful, to share the gospel, and God's the one that does the convicting. We may say, well, this doesn't really apply to me. Here Paul's writing to Timothy, and this is a pastoral epistle. Well, may I remind you that Paul addresses, and through the Holy Spirit, addresses Timothy's responsibility to be faithful as a preacher. And Timothy chapter number 4. And it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." And it goes on to continue to remind him as a preacher. But here in chapter number 1, I believe it's just the Holy Spirit speaking to Timothy as a Christian and his responsibility to share the gospel, not just on the preacher level, but on the Christian level. And therefore, it's every single one of our responsibility to be a witness, to share Christ in our daily lives. That it's not just the preacher's responsibility on this side or the other side of the pulpit, but it's all of our responsibility to be faithful, to share and to proclaim His name. Look down in verse number 8. It goes on and shows that very point. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Partaker there, it just means to be involved. Not to just be sitting on the sideline but and letting others serve God, but that every single one here in this building has a responsibility to share His name and to participate in ministries here within this church. There in verse number 8, "But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Emphasized there in the end of verse number 8 again. It's all about through God's power and God's strengthening, not just through this guy. And not through just the talents that I believe I may or may not have. And even with that as well, and that it's not our responsibility to look at ourselves and say, well, God's blessed another person more than He's blessed me in talents and abilities. And that may be true, but that's up to God. That's up to His choosing, not just our choosing. I think of back when, I believe our very first meeting on deputation, we were at a missions conference there back in Kansas, and there was another missionary family there, and one of their youngest boys was telling me about their family and how their family works and all those things, and I believe he was like maybe 6 or 7 years old there at the time, and he told me that the statement that mom is great at hugs, not so great at wrestling. Just here in his mind at his age, he knew what mom's responsibility. He knew what mom's role was, and mom was there for comforting, and mom was there for embracing and hugging, but she wasn't good at wrestling. And just within that, God may have blessed you in certain areas where you have gifts and talents and abilities. Let it be to the honor and glory of God. But there may be situations in your life where you may not perceive yourself to be talented and gifted. Let that be to the glory of God. It's all according to His choosing and according to His pleasing. It's not just about us. That when we have the view of honoring and glorifying God through our lives, we decrease, but He is glorified. He must increase, but I must decrease. Just the mentality that it's all according to the glory of God. It's His power. It's all about Him. And may we truly have the mentality to honor and glorify God in our lives. Look in verse number 9. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Oftentimes we can have the mentality of it being a great sacrifice to serve God. And certainly the Gospels tell us that we must give all to the glory of God. But it's a great honor and a great privilege to serve Him. Verse number 9 just tells us that you are saved by grace. It's only according to grace that God could ever use in any single one of us. I just want to encourage you here tonight to be bold in proclaiming the gospel, because He's the source of our boldness. He's the source. It's not whether you perceive yourself to be outward going or inward. God is the issue. And that your relationship with God would be rekindled and reflamed. And that He would receive glory for your life. Whether that's serving God as a missionary, as a preacher, or preacher's wife, or serving God here. That's up to God's business. But every single one of us, if you're saved, it's our responsibility to serve Him. And what a great honor and privilege it is to serve Him, whether here or there. It's a great honor and privilege. There's a great task before us. I could tell you about Cambodia and the need for churches there. Other missionaries could tell you the need for churches in their countries. There's a need of the gospel here. And God at this time has you here. Serve God. Be faithful to honor and glorify Him with your life, that He would receive honor and glory through us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank You for the time here. Lord, I pray that You just continue to use the time here as we gather together to hear Your word. And Lord, I pray that You just continue to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that You just help us to honor You with our lives. Lord, I thank You that You've provided us with gifts and abilities, and not for our use on ourselves, but that You would receive glory. And Lord, help us to be bold, not within our own strength, but that which You provide. Lord, I thank You for the time here. Thank You for this church. I pray this in Your name. Amen.
Amen. Good challenge tonight from that text of Scripture. He said something a couple of times about, you know, God has equipped every believer with gifts. All of us, we're all unique, but He has given us something that we weren't born with, that He gave to us when we became a believer. And it's to be used, as He's mentioned a couple of times, for God's glory and for God's honor, to make Him known in this world. I wonder tonight, do you know what that is? If you're saved and you've thought about it, I think you got an idea what it is that God's gifted you to do. Don't neglect it. Ask Him to give you opportunity, show you opportunity where you can use it and be used in that sense to minister to individuals for the name of Christ. I appreciated His testimony of His call. And sometimes we look at that and say, well, man, I'm glad praying for him, and I'm glad for the call of God on his life. But he's called all of us that are saved. He hadn't called all of us to go to Cambodia. He wouldn't do that. But he has called us all to live for him and to serve him. And so I wonder tonight if God has spoken to your heart, and if he has, I want to encourage you to respond to him here. We're going to have a time of invitation, and we're going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a few verses of song. If God has spoken to your heart, it's a good challenge tonight from the Word of God. And the idea tonight, I think, is this: do not rely upon what you think you can do. Rely upon God and what he's asked you to do, and you be willing to let him use you tonight. Paige, that's where it starts. Amen. You just say, okay, Lord, I know what in the world you want to do with me, but here I am. I give it up. You make it known to me, Lord. I'll do whatever it is you show me, and I'll just be faithful where you put me. And, you know, if you do that, you'll find God at work in your life. And you'll find he's real. Amen. Amen. Yeah.